Well, a good morning to you, excuse me, and welcome back to the God School. We're describing an epistle for true Protestants, better put, Protestants. And we're doing this for the gospel's sake. Now, we just started, got through, I believe, the seventh verse of the first chapter of the book of Galatians. This message might be a little longer because context is very important. One theologian said, text without context is error. I am making an attempt to put in context to the Word of God, to the message that God, through Paul, gave to his church, that is, to a people who literally belong to the Lord. So let's read a while and we'll go from there. How important is this? Well, let's go back to the seventh verse. Let's go to the sixth verse where Paul says, let's go back to the fourth verse. Herein is the beginning of the gospel. Speaking of Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. I'm talking to children of God, of the Lord of hosts, who's in control of everything, of animate as well as inanimate objects. To whom be glory forever and ever, amen. I marvel, Paul says, that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace, unto the grace of Christ, unto another gospel. And which is not another, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. How important is this to Paul? He says, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. The word in the Greek is anathema, and it means literally God damned. Whew. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? If I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. I left out a verse. As we said before, Paul, when Paul says something twice, when God says something twice, you better pay attention. That ninth verse says, as we said before, so say I again, of any. And the word man here is in italics. That means it's added by the translators. If any preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. Again, I don't need to, well, I'll repeat it. Let him be God damned. For do I now persuade men or God? or do I seek to please men? For if I pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Paul opens this letter, saying, a sent one, not of man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God our Father, who raised him, that is Jesus, from the dead. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ, for ye have heard of my conversion in times past in the Jews' religion, my conversation, my habits in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my Father. Jesus Christ said, ye make void the word of God by your traditions. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by his grace, by his unmerited favor, nothing Paul did to get this calling, it was God's choice, called me by his grace. Why? To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before, which were sent ones before me. But I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, Paul went into the desert of Arabia and back to Damascus for 3 years, being taught by Jesus Christ himself. Then, after 3 years, went I up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him for 15 days. 3 years he's taught by Jesus, spent 15 days with Peter, but none other than the sent ones saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. And there's no historical record that James, this purported Lord's brother, was ever a follower or an apostle of Jesus Christ during Jesus' earthly ministry. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. There's part of the gospel, in Christ. But they had only heard that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me. They praised God for that conversion by God's hand, by God's will, of the Apostle Paul. Then, after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation, that is, God leading the way, and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Paul is referring now to what took place at in reality, what was the first church council. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. He wasn't keeping the law? And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Jesus Christ says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Not bondage. Dr. Scott, my pastor for 30 years and more, used to teach, you know, these guys came into the urinal to watch Titus pee to see whether or not he was circumcised. Can you imagine the audacity, the influence of the traditions of men that would bring guys in and see whether or not, when he was urinating, whether he was circumcised? What was Paul's response? To whom we gave place by subjection? No, not for an hour. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Martin Luther, in his famous 1535 dissertation on Galatians, made this observation. It is better for one group to be saved along with the truth of the gospel than both groups be lost along with the truth of the gospel. And we are attempting here, we're not attempting, we are declaring the truth of the gospel. Now, in this day, the fight was literally between the traditions of men versus the truth of the Word of God, the truth of the good news of the gospel. Today, I'm seeing other perverts in the church now proclaiming not that we have to keep the law, but that if you're a believer, not a faither, if you're a believer, that God has this great plan for your life, and they intimate that it is in this present evil world. Jesus Christ died for our, gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. God has his eye on his children for eternal purposes, that we might rule and reign with him throughout eternity. Not that he might give you great prosperity in this life. But to whom we gave place by subjection? No, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you, but of those who seem to be somewhat, you know, the word seem to be somewhat is dokio. It sounds an awful lot like donkey to me. Whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepts no man person, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was committed unto Peter, for he wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. I want to back up for a couple minutes. In the fifth chapter of Matthew, called the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus removed any hope for righteousness being obtained in the flesh. None. I'm not going to read it all. I'm only going to read one verse. But I want you to go back and read and listen to Jesus Christ speak of all the reasons, and each and every one of us can identify with the reasons given by Christ, that no flesh shall be justified by the law. And that word justified in its Greek origins comes from the word dike. The root is dike. There are several derivatives of the word dike, but they all speak of righteousness. And Jesus, in the 20th verse of the 5th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, says, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter in to the kingdom of heaven." I'd love to read more, but I want to stay on the subject. We're talking about the gospel. We're talking about righteousness. Let's get to the gospel. My goodness, I thought I had all these places marked. I do. We'll get to it. Hang in there with me. Here's the heart of the gospel. Paul, writing another letter, that book of Romans, he wrote Romans and Galatians and Hebrews, all of which repeat that great phrase out of Habakkuk 2, which proclaims the just, or literally, the righteous by faith shall live. But Paul says in the 16th verse of the first chapter of Romans, he says, let's go to the 15th verse. "So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God." The word is dunamis in the Greek for power, being translated power. We get our word dynamite from that. "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that faitheth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." What is the power of God? The gospel. That's the power. What's the gospel? What's revealed in the gospel? For therein is a righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. If it were more properly translated, for the righteous shall live by faith. And that's what Paul was taught for 3.5 years by Jesus Christ in the desert in Arabia and in Damascus. That's what was committed to Paul, to the Gentiles. Let's go to the account found of that first church council, which is found in Acts chapter 15. Paul tells us that he and Barnabas went up to Jerusalem. And when they got there, he says there was no small dissension and disputation with them. And they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and the elders about this question. Because some said, you have to be circumcised. And unless you are circumcised, you cannot be saved by the law of Moses. It says in, when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and the elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know that a good while ago God made a choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and faith. And God, which knoweth the heart, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, those who had the law and those who didn't have the law, purifying their hearts by faith. Peter goes on to say, now, why tempt ye God and put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? He's giving testimony to the words of Jesus in that 5th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon, Peter, had declared how God at first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. I don't agree with a lot that James has to say, but I sure agree with that. for his namesake. God chose out from among those he did not choose out in Christ Jesus, even before the foundations of the world. Read the first chapter of Ephesians. It goes on to talk about James sending a letter to the churches saying, you know, we're not putting anything on you except this. And he gives that, he says that you abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood and from things strangled and from fornication, from which if ye keep, ye yourselves shall do well. Fare ye well. You know, what did Jesus say? A little bit of leaven leaveneth the whole loaf. The whole loaf. He's putting a little bit of leaven on the gospel. And it's not to be there. Period. Let's go back to Galatians. Ninth verse, second chapter. And when James and Cephas, that's Peter and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor. I'd love to talk about that, but not today. The same which I was forward to do. I was eager to do it. But Paul's going to tell a story here. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. He was blameworthy, literally. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. He was chomping it down. He wasn't asking any questions. He was having a good old time. But when, for before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. This is the first pope, not historically accurate. It is a turning the truth to justify a position of a great so-called church in this world, that Peter was the first pope. Not historically accurate, not supported by history. He withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation, with their separation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as the Jews? We who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, who they didn't have the law, is what Paul's saying. And here am I going to close today's message. Here's Paul's response to Peter and to and for all of us, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have faith in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh, no natural born man or woman be justified. Now let me clarify this. Let me give a true translation from the Greek, knowing that a man is not righteousified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have faith in Christ Jesus, that we might be righteousified. How? By the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified, righteousified. If I'm not finished on shortwave in the time allowed, you can get this whole message by going to thegodschool.com. And if God has given you ears to hear this wonderful message of the gospel, I want to hear from you. For I am not ashamed, in Romans, back to Romans 1, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that faitheth. For therein, wherein the gospel is a righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, from pistis, eis, piston. Pistis, it's in the genitive, that's what we generate. Piston. That is in the accusative. It is something that is done from the outside to us. And that piston is the faith of Christ. Go to Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be righteousified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. That's the Mount of Transfiguration, where Moses, representing the law, and Elijah, representing the prophets, are seen there with Christ. Even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference. Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world and those who endure and hang on to the word, to the promises of God, we shall appear in Christ through out eternity. Put your hope in God and not circumstance. God is faithful. He will do as he said he would do. And that's the God School for today.